1-800-665-0239. 1-800-665-0239.
Congress is back to work today and facing another government shutdown. Republican leaders want a six-week funding bill to keep things running till March 23rd, but they have to pull it all together by Thursday. Mitch McConnell telling reporters at the Republican retreat.
I don't think we'll see a threatened government shutdown again over this subject. One of my favorite old Kentucky country sayings is there's no education in the second kick of a mule. And so I think there will be a new level of seriousness here.
Disagreements over immigration taking down the government for nearly 3 days, and Democrats want an immigration deal passed before agreeing to a budget caps deal. The House expected to vote tomorrow on a continuing resolution to keep the government running before Democrats leave for a planned retreat on Wednesday. And about 14 million Americans call in sick today, which conveniently the day after the Super Bowl. Last year, 16.5 million Americans saying they plan to call in sick because of the game. There's a parade planned for Wednesday morning as the Eagles celebrate their first Super Bowl victory in franchise history. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, this is Wayne Allyn Root with a confession to make. I wear my blue blocker sunglasses everywhere. How good are blue blockers? First, America's astronauts using the same formula wore them in outer space. And over 20 million pairs have been sold throughout the world. 20 million! Blue blockers provide the best eye protection you can own. And you can't even break the lens with a hammer. So call toll-free and order one pair for $29.95 or two pairs for $39.95 plus postage. Just call toll-free 800-722-7777. That's 800-722-7777. 800-722-7777.
Federal officials say this year's already difficult flu season is only going to get worse before it gets better. Chris Barnes has more from Washington.
53 children in America have died of the flu this season, according to the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention. Officials say they're not sure why this season has been so rough, but that most of the nation's been hit by the flu at the very same time, and they say that's unusual. The disease has also sent more people to the hospital than at any other time in recent history. There are three different flu viruses circulating this year, the H3N2, the H1N1, and influenza B, and the flu vaccine is meant to fight against them, but H3N2 is predominant this year, with more complications among the young and elderly from that one, and it's the one the flu vaccine is least effective against. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
The U.S. considering restrictions of crude oil imports from Venezuela. John Clements has the details.
Secretary of State Rex Tillerson, currently on a Latin American trip, said the restrictions would put more pressure on the socialist government in Caracas to return to the Constitution.
One of the aspects of considering sanctioning oil is what effect will it have on the Venezuelan people? Is it a step that might bring this to an end, to a more rapid end and a more rapid close? Because not doing anything to bring this to an end is also asking the Venezuelan people to suffer for a much longer time.
I'm John Clemens.
And this is USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Weather this afternoon, sunny with a high near 35. Northwest wind 10 to 15 miles per hour with gusts as high as 28 miles per hour. Tonight, increasing clouds with a low around 18. Light and variable wind. Tuesday, cloudy, then gradually becoming mostly sunny with a high near 38. Calm wind becoming west 5 to 7 miles per hour in the morning. Tuesday night, a chance of freezing rain, mainly after 4 a.m. Increasing clouds with a low around 23. Light and variable wind. Chance of precipitation is 30%. Wednesday, snow and freezing rain before 9 a.m. Then snow between 9 a.m. and 1 p.m. Then rain after 1 p.m. High near 30. East wind 6 to 9 miles per hour, becoming southeast in the afternoon. Chance of precipitation is 90%. Little or no ice accumulation expected. New snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches possible. Wednesday night, rain before midnight, then rain and snow between midnight and 2 a.m., then a slight chance of snow after 2 a.m. Low around 27. Chance of precipitation is 80%. New precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible.
Good afternoon and welcome to Mental Health Matters. I'm your host, Larry Cartwright, and my co-host is Tracy Ivey. And this is NAMI's Hour, compliments of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. NAMI is the National Alliance on Mental Illness. And in Hunterdon County, we're all volunteers, but there is a chapter of NAMI in every county in the state of New Jersey, every state in the union, and overseas. As I said, in Hunterdon County, where we are, we're all volunteers. We work out of our homes, have no office, no paid staff. And what we try to do is we try to help people who either have a mental illness or someone in their family has one, or they know someone or is close to someone who have. And we do it in many ways. One of the ways we do it is we have a 12-week, what we call family-to-family class, which is for people to come and they learn about medication, side effects, what to do, what not to do in certain circumstances. And also it tells them, or it tries to show to them, what it's like to be the person with the illness. We also run a support group the third Thursday of every month at 52 East Main Street in Flemington, and it is from 7 to 8:30, and everybody's welcome. There's no registration. You don't have to be a member of NAMI. You don't have to be a member of NAMI to take the classes we offer either. We have what they call a basis course, which is a six-week course for families who have someone under the age of 18, a child under the age of 18 who has a mental health issue. If you'd like some more information or questions or anything we can do to help, you can reach us at 908-284-0500. That's 908-284-0500. And we don't man the phone 24/7, but we do have someone that checks it at least twice a day. And we have... We will promise you we will get back to you as soon as possible. We are very privileged today to have with us Karen Cassano. Am I saying that right?
Absolutely.
All right. Who is a volunteer trainer at Casa Shaw. And we're so happy that you could take the time out of your busy schedule to come and, you know, sit with us for an hour. First off, would you tell us exactly what Casa Shaw stands for?
Sure. It is Court-Appointed Special Advocates of Somerset, Hunterdon, and Warren Counties.
Okay. How did you get involved in this type of work?
Well, I have been working in social services for my whole career, which is quite a long time, and I've
Oh, it's not that long. I mean, come
on. I've specifically done a lot of work with volunteers. I had a bit of a tenure with a Big Brothers Big Sisters program prior to coming on with Casa Shaw. I started at Casa about it was a year in November, so it's still relatively new. But I think the common theme for me is helping, certainly helping children, and also the opportunity to work with volunteers who really are the ones who are the boots on the ground providing the services to the children in our agency.
Okay. I know in the flyer you sent me, and the first paragraph totally shocked me. It said that every year in New Jersey, there are more than 100,000 reports of child abuse and neglect. And of these children, more than 10,000 are removed from their homes because the court has found it to be too dangerous for them to remain in their homes. I couldn't fathom that amount of number.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of families in our community who are struggling. And, you know, there's lots of different reasons why families get to the point where children need to be removed for their safety.
Right.
Unfortunately, today, a big theme of that is about substance abuse. The opioid epidemic that we're seeing here in our community is a huge part of this. Lots of families are dealing with this issue. And ultimately, things sort of devolve in families where things become unsafe and children need to be removed so that they can be in a safe environment. There, unfortunately, are other reasons why families get to this point. It can be, you know, mental health issues, other kinds of substance abuse issues, and abuse issues as well.
Yeah, and, you know, after I read this, which was, you know, a week or two mm-hmm. ago, and then all this thing that came out about this family that had, 13 kids, and they locked them up and
right.
chained them, and
right.
the 27-year-old had about 80 pounds, and, mm-hmm. you know, it's mm-hmm. just, mm-hmm. you know, I don't know, I just, you wonder, you know.
You wonder
and
what's
nobody,
going on behind those closed doors.
Right, and nobody knew. I mean, you know,
yeah.
they didn't know they had 13 kids, you know. I mean, really? I find that a little hard to believe.
Right,
and,
right.
you know, all right, I understand people don't want to get into other people's business uh-huh. and so on uh-huh. and so forth. But in this particular case, you uh-huh. don't want to at least check it out.
Right.
Or have not you do it personally, but uh-huh. have police uh-huh. or somebody.
Right.
You know,
right.
check it out.
Right.
I just, it's just so sad, you know. And, you know, last night, not to get off the subject, but last night on the internet, I was looking at the news
mm-hmm.
and two women were arrested. Their mother, which wasn't one of the two, brought her daughter and her son to them to get the demons taken away, mm-hmm. driven out. So they mutilated the daughter where she's disfigured for life, mm-hmm. burned her, stuck her with sharp objects and did something with her eye and, you know, and you just, I'm sorry, you know, yes, I believe in fair trials, I mm-hmm. believe all that, but after the fair trial and all the appeals are over with, shoot them because they don't deserve to live anymore. These people, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah. It can be hard work, you know, the work that we do and the things that families face. But I will say that, you know, here in our community and in the state of New Jersey, we do have Child Protection Services, which is called the Division of Child Protection and Permanency. It used to be called DIFAS. Today we call it DCPMP. And, you know, they do the hard work of monitoring families and making sure that kids are safe. Obviously, situations happen.
Mm-hmm.
But by the time CASA is involved, children have been removed and are either with a family member or in a foster home. And so then what happens is a CASA volunteer is assigned to the case and the work begins to make that time that a child is in foster care as positive as it can be, making sure that children are getting the services and support that they need during that challenging time. And I will say that in most cases, kids go home to their parents. About half
okay.
of the cases, kids end up going back home. You know, parents mostly want their children, want to be good parents,
mm-hmm.
and things get in their way or decisions and choices that they make don't work out so well. So generally, you know, families, we're working to get families back together,
right.
but most importantly, we're working for children to have a safe home
right.
to be
mm-hmm.
in and,
right.
and a permanent home.
Right.
That's a huge part of what we try to work towards.
Right.
Is there any average on how long a child would be in foster care?
You know, I think it really runs the gamut. There is work in the court system in New Jersey along with DCPMP to work towards not having children languish in the foster care system. I think years ago that was a huge factor that kids kind of got stuck. Today, when a child is removed, it's almost like a clock starts ticking
mm-hmm.
and under the court system and judges are coming up with plans for parents and basically giving them about a year to sort of get it back together and and get their kids back together. However, there are times where that can stretch much longer. There's a lot of different circumstances that come into play. So it's hard to say, but we generally look towards kids for sure finding permanency within about 2 years.
Can it ever be shorter?
Absolutely. I think if a parent can get it figured out and do the work they need to do and get the counseling that they need and other supports, absolutely.
Okay.
On an average, in the area you cover, which is Hunterdon and Somerset, Hunterdon and Warren.
Yes.
On an average, how many children do you have in that system? I mean, you know, not an exact number.
So we serve Hunterdon and Somerset and Warren counties. There are about 450 children in out of home placements on average. We are fortunate enough to service about 215 to 230 a year. So we're less than half of the kids that we can provide CASAS for. And that has to do with the fact that we need more volunteers. And we need the manpower and the support of those volunteers. So we work very hard to try to serve more kids in our community with a CASA volunteer.
Okay. In an effort to address these needs, you, CASA, recruits, you screen, you train, you supervise community volunteers to act as advocates in court.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is where you come in, Karen, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. You want to elaborate a little bit about how you get the volunteers,
sure,
what you do to train them,
sure,
what kind of tests they may have to pass before you even go into training?
Sure, sure. So basically, we're always recruiting. Today, obviously, is a recruiting vehicle. We speak to groups. We'll talk to anybody who listens. So lots of, you know, different civic organizations and service organizations, social media, press releases. We're always doing outreach for volunteers. We have information sessions about 2 times a month throughout our community. We actually have one coming up tomorrow evening at the Clinton United Methodist Church on 12 Halstead Street. And that's an opportunity for somebody to come who's just thinking about this or maybe really wants to know what the heck does CASA really do. So that's really a first step for a volunteer to come to an information session. It takes about an hour and hear in detail what we do, what the commitment is about.
Okay.
If you're still interested after coming to that information session, what we do is we do an interview with you to get to know you even further. And at that point, we make a decision if we think that this is the right opportunity for you as a volunteer.
Right.
And as well as for the volunteers to make sure it's right for them. Because this is hard work. It can be a little heart-wrenching, as you can imagine. But on the other hand, I think it can be very rewarding.
Right.
Once somebody is accepted into our training, we do a training of about 40 hours in total. It's a pretty intensive training. We have one starting on February 12th. It's going to be held in Clinton again because we try to stay in the middle of our footprint. And so that will be 12 sessions over the course of about 6 weeks. They are in the evenings, about 3 hours each evening. So it's a big commitment. And we do ask our volunteers to not miss any training because it is so very important for you to be prepared. And then once you go through training, you're sworn in by the court. You become part of the court judicial volunteers. And then you begin the work of being an advocate for a child. But we don't leave you alone. We assign you with a staff person and also a mentor, another CASA, as your mentor to help you through this process because it is hard work and we want you to do a good job and help those kids.
And all right, somebody comes to, say, tomorrow night to the Methodist Church and they're interested. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you say you interview them, what are you looking for?
We want to get to know them, know a little bit about their background, what's motivating them to be a volunteer, what are their life experiences, you know, do they have experience in the child welfare system or not? It's just good to get to know them and also get the sense of their commitment because that's a huge thing of what we do. As you see, we put a lot of resources in to get somebody to the point of getting through training. So we want to make sure that they're going to stick with us. And we ask for a 2-year commitment to be a CASA volunteer. So those are sort of the things things that we're trying to
It's a two-year commitment, you said.
Yes, exactly. Because our hope is that you're going to be assigned to a child and you're going to stick with them till they get to permanency. And so that's an average. Sometimes it takes longer. Sometimes it takes less. And I do think that it is a rewarding experience for volunteers, because I can tell you we have several volunteers who have been doing this work for 10 years. So you don't stick around for 10 years as a volunteer if it's not something you're getting a lot out of.
Sure. Now, how many hours a week would a volunteer need to be available?
Right. So that's a great question. And it really varies. We say about 10 hours a month, but it can vary a lot. We ask our CASA volunteers to go to court, which generally happens about four times a year. Well, the day that you go to court, you're probably going to be there several hours, just the way our court system works. There are times, particularly when you first get a case, that you're going to be learning a lot about the child and their background. So maybe those first few weeks, you're putting a little bit more time. So that's sort of an average over the life of the work you do.
Now, children have to be very...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Children must be very vulnerable at the point when they've just been moved.
And absolutely.
Especially if it's their first time.
Absolutely. You know, we say that the children really come to us having been traumatized. I mean, being removed from your home is traumatizing.
Right.
And what leads up to that is also traumatizing. So what happens is that when a child gets removed, they all of a sudden, their life changes, they're in a whole new world, and there's many people in their lives. Now they have perhaps a counselor, maybe they're going to a new school, they have a DCPMP worker who's visiting with them, and then, you know, we put a CASA into their lives. But the good thing about CASA is that we assign our volunteers to one child or sibling group, and we ask them to stick around through the whole time these kids are in foster care. So we tend to be that constant in the child's life, that they see that CASA person, and we visit the kids once a month in person, no questions asked. That is absolutely a rule that a CASA volunteer has to do. So they're not forming necessarily a friendship with the child, because they're not there to be there, you know, as a big brother or a big sister. It's there to see how they're doing and hear how they're doing and learn what's going on with their experience. And over time, I think CASA volunteers build up a rapport with the child and I think a trusting relationship with them. So that when that CASA comes in and says, you know, Johnny, I haven't seen you in a couple weeks. How are things going at school? You told me last time you were struggling in math. What's happening with that? The hope is that that child will feel comfortable enough to share that information and help that CASA to provide the support to them by making recommendations to the court of things that the child might need.
Do you recommend, or do you have to have, like, the parents take courses to help them?
So that's part of what the court does, that the court rules for the parents. We're more involved with the child.
Okay.
But, however, we are aware of what the plan is for those parents to get back their children, and we're helping to monitor that. A piece of what a CASA volunteer does is sort of monitor the situation more from the child's eyes. So things like if the child is, in their old school, perhaps they were receiving some support services for a learning disability, CASA volunteers are going to check that out and make sure that those services are being provided in that next school. So it's sort of monitoring the situation for the child, but also making recommendations for other things that the child might need. And a piece of that monitoring is to see how those parents are doing and how are they doing working towards getting their child back.
Do you ever have a child not want to go back home?
You know, I'm still a little bit new to this work. I would say mostly our children do want to go back to their parents. I have a feeling that perhaps in some extenuating circumstances, there have been times where a child, you know, feels that where they are is a better place.
Yeah.
So just to clarify, they sometimes do end up in a different school district then.
It does happen. Yeah. We try not to have them. You know, there is, rules and legislation in the state of New Jersey that says we want to keep kids in their home school district so that disruption doesn't happen. But, you know, there's many things that happen that can become a problem for them to not stay in their school district.
You'd have to have foster parents in every single municipality in order to cover yourselves. I assume you do?
There there's foster families all throughout the state, and actually in New Jersey, the term we use now is called a resource parent, and they are located all over. But it really depends on each individual situation how that goes.
Right. Now, is this CASA is for the three counties around here.
Mm-hmm.
I'm assuming there are more throughout the rest of the state?
Yes, and, there is a CASA for every county in New Jersey.
Okay, what about outside of New Jersey?
CASA is a national program.
Okay, that's
so there are there are CASA programs throughout our country.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I would think if just this area, I mean, you know.
Right.
New Jersey,
no. It's
a
national program.
And then when you say, you know, there's 100,000 reports of child abuse and neglect, I think you would have to have more than just, you know.
Right, exactly.
New Jersey,
exactly.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
Now, CASA volunteers, they're appointed by a family court judge.
Correct.
To a child, right?
Exactly.
All right. How does the judge come about appointing someone? Does he have a list of, you know, and then something like that?
Well, basically, for example, in Hunterdon County, we are fortunate in that we're serving all of the children who are in foster care. We have enough volunteers so that every time a child ends up in foster care, we're lucky that we have a CASA available. When you get to Somerset and Warren counties, we're falling short in terms of the number of volunteers. So in those situations, it's based on really as a need basis. So when the cases are a little more challenging and there's more needs for the child, we sort of prioritize them that way. And some input is given by the DCPMP, who know the family situation a little more. And also our CASA staff take a look at the situation and find the right volunteer for that child and family. So a couple things factor into it.
Right. Does a volunteer from Hunterdon, if they're willing to help someone in Somerset, they
could do that?
Or Warren or wherever?
Yep, we absolutely do that. I mean, you know, these are volunteers.
Right.
So we give them the option of, saying yes or no to that. But we absolutely have volunteers who are working in other counties. And that's the reason why. Because, you know, we sometimes have more Hunterdon volunteers. And luckily, we don't have as many kids in Hunterdon County.
Right.
So that absolutely is part of what we do.
Yeah. I know about volunteering.
Yeah, sure, right.
NAMI is all volunteer in our county,
exactly.
So, you know. But, you know, it's just, I just can't, that number just keeps,
It's 100,000 in New Jersey, and 10,000 are removed from their homes.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Throughout the state.
So 1 in 10.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's unbelievable to me. I mean, you know, when you stop and think about it, you hear once in a while, like I was saying before,
Even in three counties, I think you said 450.
It's about.
So you're talking about 150 maybe per county.
Right.
Per county.
The distribution is a little.
In Somerset,
yes,
I would assume,
because it's
more populous.
Right,
yeah.
Right. But it's unfortunately. It's a lot of kids who are suffering and having real challenges, for sure.
I assume there's no age.
Nope.
Like from
the kids
2 years
go
old
from
up to
up
1 year
21.
Old or whatever to 21?
Up to 21, you can be part of CASA.
Okay.
And are you always able to keep the families together?
That's really up to this individual situation of each family. I mean, we do have kids who end up being adopted, whether it's by their resource family or a family member. But in about half the cases, the kids go back home to their family.
No, I'm sorry. I guess what I mean is the siblings.
The siblings. It really depends on a lot of different factors. I think that the goal is to keep children together, sibling groups. But I think sometimes it's the function of the availability of resource homes and their availability to take in however many children it can be.
Right.
And then children who aren't placed with a sibling, they do have sibling visits. So there is some priority put on maintaining those family relationships. But it's a challenge, of course.
Yeah, I would imagine.
Yes, absolutely.
I would imagine. And I think, I may be wrong, but I think you'd have to be a special type of person to volunteer into this type of situation.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Volunteering at NAMI we have like three categories of people who volunteer. People like me who have a son who has mental illness, others who have mental illness and are going on with their life, and others who just want to help.
Right.
But your situation, I think it would be very, I think it could get very emotional for the
right.
for the volunteer.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know, you have a situation, you're placed mm-hmm. in a situation, or they're mm-hmm. asking you to look mm-hmm. out for this child, mm-hmm. you know, young, old, whatever, teenage, whatever. And you know the history now of what that child right. has been going through. Boy, that could be tough.
Mm-hmm. You yeah, know. And it's interesting because our volunteers really run the gamut, you know, of in terms of ages and background. I mean, we have some volunteers who come to us who have some expertise in the field of child mm-hmm. development.
Right.
We have sure. retired teachers. We have people who, for in one way or another, have had experience with the foster care system, whether it's themselves or another family
right.
member. So people come to us with some of those things, and there are people who just have want to help and don't have a specific
right,
background.
Right.
And I think that's why our training is so important, because we don't ask that you have a specific expertise to be a CASA volunteer. We're going to give you that expertise.
And you don't have to have been a parent.
No.
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 No. What, how do you overlap with child protection, which used to be called DIFAS?
Right, right.
What do you do, and what do they do, and what's different?
So we work hand in hand with them. You know, every family, when a child is removed, they have a DCPMP worker. But the difference between CASA volunteers and DCPMP workers is that a DCPMP worker has about 15 families that they're working with. Mm-hmm. So they have a caseload that's much larger. Mm-hmm. A CASA volunteer is working with one child or sibling group. So that we provide a much more individualized attention to detail and support to the child. But we definitely work together with the DCPMP worker so that, you know, if a CASA volunteer sees something that seems like it's missing, they can check in with the DCPMP worker and say what's happening with this aspect of the child's life, and vice versa. So I think it's very much a coordination and collaboration.
Right.
I was just curious, the training that you have, you 6 weeks, you said.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What are some of the things that are trained, that are taught
sure.
in that training?
Sure, oh. sure. Well, it's in my head a lot because I'm getting ready. we basically cover a lot of different things. We talk a lot just about the families and the challenges that families are facing. So we talk about substance abuse, mental health issues, unfortunately domestic violence and how that affects the family. Poverty, you know, how that affects the families that we work with. We also talk about communication skills. You know, how do you talk to a child? How do you talk to the DCPMP worker? How do you talk to the judge? You know, it's all
right.
of those things.
Right.
We do a big piece on the court system. You know,
yeah.
we have to know
well,
about...
you have to. You know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. We literally talk about, you know, in a courtroom, the judge sits here and the
right.
prosecutor, you know, the lawyers sit here. So, you know, we go right from beginning to end. And then a big part of what our volunteers do is 4 times a year when the case is before the judge, our volunteers write a court report. And this is a report that shares with the judge the work that they have done for
okay.
those last 3 months. And it tells the judge how are things going with the child and their circumstances. But it also includes recommendations made by our CASA workers, our CASA volunteers, of things that perhaps a child needs. You know, perhaps a child, it seems like, you know, they're saying they're not seeing their they're missing their sibling visits, or perhaps they're not doing well in school and could use benefit from some extra
right.
tutoring. So those recommendations are put into the CASA report that our CASA volunteers write. And those reports, prior to being submitted to the judge, are written by our volunteers but reviewed and edited by our CASA staff, because we want to provide a quality product to the judges and to make sure that the information is communicated clearly and concisely, and ultimately benefiting the children.
Do you find that some of the children need mental health help? I mean, you know, if you're in an abusive family, they're not so much that they're abusing the child, but
mm-hmm.
the parent is, you know, I'll just say the father is abusing the mother
mm-hmm.
or vice
mm-hmm.
versa or whatever. That has to have an effect on a child.
Yes, absolutely. I think that a lot of the children in our program benefit from the services of a counselor. And this can be on a couple different levels. Maybe there's someone in their school, they have a counselor on the staff at the school and go to that counseling maybe mm-hmm. once a week or right. so. But it can be obviously outside of the family, right. Outside of school within more of the family setting. So absolutely the kids need the support of counseling services. And a lot of the kids that we serve have issues at school, learning disabilities sure. and things like that yeah. that need to be addressed and supported. So we're taking a look at the child from all different avenues to make sure that they're getting what they need right. during this time and continued.
So it seems as though the volunteers are really going to get involved in a lot of different levels, calling the schools mm-hmm. and it's not just what they do when they're there, it's what they do when they're not there, too.
Exactly. You know, our volunteers have a court order that allows them to have access to all of the information about this child and their life. It can be things like medical records. It can be school records to make sure that they're getting what they need and to learn about their circumstance and make sure that things can move in a positive way for the child. So, yes, our volunteers go to meetings, school meetings. You know, they're called oftentimes individual education. IEP for the special ed piece of schools. They go to those meetings. They're going to family team meetings, which are meetings to help support that family to work to get back together. So our volunteers are very involved in the child's life.
When a volunteer gets their first child,
mm-hmm.
what, obviously you said that somebody, I don't want to say supervises, mm-hmm. but helps the volunteer oversees what mm-hmm. the volunteers is doing. How's that first couple times that they get with the child?
Right. That can be a challenging
right.
time.
That could either mm-hmm. break.
Sure.
You know,
sure.
break the relationship or make it.
Exactly. Well, first and foremost, before even a volunteer meets the child, they're meeting with our staff and learning all about the background of that family, how they got to where they are today. So a volunteer is going to know a whole lot about that child's okay. situation. With our more trained volunteers, they're pretty good about starting a case, if they've done it before. But when we have new volunteers, it's their first case, there are certainly lots of times where our staff will go with them for some of those first meetings okay. because right. they feel like they need the support to know how to do this.
Sure.
Yeah, I would think they would.
Yeah, and we talk about it a lot in training. Like, that is a big area that I think CASA volunteers worry about. What am I going to say to this 8-year-old little boy right. or little girl? Mm-hmm. And we talk to them about the fact that, first of all, the first time you meet them, you're probably just going to say hi, explain to them a little bit about who you are and why you're there, and maybe you're going to play go fish for a half
right.
hour and saying, guess what? I'm going to come back in a month and see how you're doing. I mean, we try to keep it on the child's level and let it go, you know, not force the child. We want
right.
it to be a
right.
slowly evolving relationship.
Right. How many people do you have on your staff?
Oh, gosh. We just started. We're adding two new people. So now I think we're up to about 9 of our staff, but a lot of people work part-time. So we have case supervisors who work with each county. We have two working in Somerset County, one in Hunterdon. We have one in Warren, and we're about to have another half-time person in Warren County. And then I do the volunteer training piece. We have an administrative assistant. We have a data manager. And we have a new part-time person who is helping us do outreach, which we're really excited about because we're really trying to get more volunteers.
Sure. You have a couple sessions coming up for...
Information sessions,
yeah,
sure. Again, this is called, we call these our information sessions. So this is your opportunity to just come and learn about our agency. It's about an hour long. We try to have them all throughout the community. Our next one is actually tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. at the Clinton United Methodist Church. The one after that is February 21st, which is a Wednesday, and that's at 12 noon. And that will be at the North County Branch Library, which is in Clinton,
right.
also on Halstead Street. And then after that, the one after that is March 6th, which is a Tuesday. And that is at 12 noon, and that's in our office up in Washington Borough, up in Warren County. What we ask is if you're interested in coming to an information session, we'd really like you to let us know that you're coming. Okay. So you can, you know, shoot us an email or give us a call, and just let us know that you'll be joining us.
All right. Why don't we give that email address and that phone number?
Sure. You can email me, which is Karen at CasaShaw.org. Our phone number is 908-689-5515.
Let's do the email address again.
Sure.
A little slower. Too.
Sure. It's Karen, K-A-R-E-N, at, and then it's Casa, C-A-S-A, Shaw, S-H-A-W, .org.
Great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
So you like to know ahead of time about how many people usually show up to these?
You know, it really varies. Okay. I mean, sometimes we have two or three. Sometimes we have almost 10. I think tomorrow I'm up to about 8 people coming tomorrow.
Okay.
Well, that's
which
great.
Is really exciting.
Yeah,
yeah.
Sure.
I'm excited.
And even if you get half of that.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, you got another four people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
exactly. And what I like to say, you know, when we go out and speak to groups and stuff, I always say to people, you know, maybe you're not interested in becoming a CASA volunteer, but help us to spread the word. So
right.
maybe there's somebody in your life that you think this might be an interest of.
Why do you think, I know from some of the information you sent me, that you think, or I guess it's a proven fact, that children with a CASA advocate have a better chance of graduating high school, living in a stable foster environment, and are less likely to remain in foster care long term.
Right.
Why do you, attribute that?
I think it's because of the work of our CASA volunteers. The fact that they're staying there consistently. What happens a lot of times when children are in foster care, those other players that come into their lives, the DCP, PMP workers and other, you know, counselors and whatnot, they tend to change a lot. So, you know, their story sort of gets lost. But we have that same CASA worker or CASA volunteer staying with that child. It's somebody to sort of watch over them and make sure they're getting what they need. And so those little pieces aren't lost along the way. And keeping the focus on getting that child to permanency. Mm. I mean, our volunteers are pretty tenacious, I think, and really care a lot about those kids and, you know, want them to get what they need. And watch for those when something happens. You know, unfortunately, there are times when kids who are in foster care for a variety of reasons end up moving, you know, going to another foster placement. And that could be because of the home that they're in, something's changed for them or whatever. Well, to keep things consistent, it's nice to have that CASA worker there to monitor that and make sure that child is getting the services and attention that they need.
I will tell you that about, I want to say about 18 years ago, I was just starting out in NAMI. And a CASA worker reached out to me because I was had connection with a family. And they were asking me what I thought about the family and the situation and what I knew and whatever. And I was at first reluctant to because it's everything's private,
of
you know.
Of course.
And I was very reluctant and they said, please, we, you know.
Right.
And then when she explained everything, I says, okay, this,
right.
and this.
Right,
but,
right.
you know, at first it was like, whoa.
Yeah,
who are you to ask
on?
Me this?
Yeah.
You know, this is all private. We don't. It's all confidential, you know. And that what makes people talk at our support group meetings because it is confidential, you know. And, you know. But anyway, it was, and they helped the child.
Sure.
You know.
And that's a big thing. That's another thing we talk a lot about in training is the confidentiality piece. I mean, and that's, I think, you know, there's many aspects of being a CASA volunteer that are challenging, and that is part of it. You know, this is not the kind of volunteer opportunity that you can run around and say to your friends, you can't believe the great things I'm doing. You can't. You have to keep it quiet. But what I think that we do well is that by having our staff be supportive of our volunteers and giving them an outlet to come and kind of vent a little bit and
right.
share about their experiences, I think that helps our volunteers to do a good job
right.
and stick with us.
Now, do sometimes the volunteers come more often than once a month if they feel like I need to be there every 2 weeks or once a week?
I think
can
if there's
they do
some-
that?
I think if there's something going on and there's a need for it, yes. But I think that, you know, we don't want them to get over involved. That's the other part. We want them
right,
to stay.
Have to walk. Right.
Keep tight rope. It's quite a tight rope. But you know, there's so many variables in each and every case, and we talk about that a lot in training. And so one of the rules, the guidelines we give to all of our volunteers is that if you're not sure about something, ask before you do it. You know, if there's a good reason for something, talk it over with your case supervisor, and if that seems like it's going to work, then we would move forward with right. it.
You had, you said there's a great need, obviously, for volunteers, because like only 40% of the 40% of kids in foster care are paired with a CASA volunteer,
mm-hmm.
and that means 60% are at risk because they're not represented.
Exactly.
Now the unrepresented ones,
mm-hmm.
that could be horrendous.
Yeah. Absolutely. And that's why we're trying to do the work that we're doing. Our executive director, Tracy Heiser, has done a great job in, you know, finding us funding and support so that we're able to put some focus on the need for outreach. Because the kids are there. We
right.
know they're there. And we know that they need us. And so it's what we want to do is try to find more people to be volunteers
right.
so that we can serve all of those kids.
It's surprising to me in a way that so many other organizations don't have to rely so much on volunteers. I guess that's the way it's always been set up. You
yeah.
don't have
right.
employees train mm-hmm. people with mm-hmm. social workers going out. You
right.
You have to rely
that's
on these
That's the
volunteers.
Model of the program yeah. when it was started mm-hmm. back in the 70s.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I would suggest you mention the three things again. That you're training.
The information. Sure, absolutely.
Because, you know.
Yeah, for sure. So the next one is tomorrow, Tuesday, February 6th at 5:30 p.m. at the Clinton United Methodist Church. Then after that, it is Wednesday, February 21st at 12 noon at the North County Branch Library, which is in Clinton. And then after that, we have one on Tuesday, March 6th at 12 noon in our CASA office, which is up in Washington Borough in Warren County, which is about 10 or 15 miles north of Clinton.
Do you know what that address is offhand?
Of course. It's 150 Boulevard, Suite 1 in Washington.
Is that on Route 57? Or?
It's actually, you know, just a little bit north of 57, right off Route 31.
Okay.
But it's like 5 minutes from
right.
there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It's right there.
Did we miss anything you'd want to talk about?
I guess the only other thing I would say is that, you know, as I said, we provide support to our volunteers. We do provide ongoing training. So once someone becomes a CASA volunteer, we offer them opportunities throughout the year to get additional training. Those can be more topic-based. So, for example, back in October, we had a training that focused on the opioid epidemic.
Okay.
So we try to do that. We had a training not too long ago that talked really about how does DCPMP work. The child protection system in New
right,
Jersey, who
right.
are the players there. So we try to provide ongoing support to the children, to the volunteers. And then the other thing I think that we do, which is really a nice thing, is that we provide a lot of things to the children. Our community is very giving and very kind. So I was saying, you know, a couple weeks before Christmas, it looked like the North Pole in our office.
Uh-huh.
You know, people donated lots of toys and other items for our children. And what we do is we get those items to their CASA volunteer, and then the CASA volunteer is sharing it with the children. In the summer, late summer, we get lots of donations of backpacks and school supplies. So we're really able to provide some of those
okay.
things to the children in our program, which I think is really a nice thing that we get to do.
Is there any grant funding or
we have a variety
funding?
We have a variety of funding. We have some grants, we have some state and federal funding, and we also do fundraising. So
right.
it's sort of a conglomeration of things that come together to provide the support for the agency.
You have any fundraising coming up?
We do. We have our fabulous Casablanca event, which is of course now Tracy is going to kill me because I can't think of the date. It's in late April, early May, and it's a casino night, and you can find out about it on our website. That's a great night that's coming up.
Okay.
That's a big fundraiser that we have every year.
And what I was going to say, I lost thought. I'm getting old. I lost. I went out of my mind there. I was going to say something, and it went out of my mind.
We could have her give the website address while
sure.
you're thinking
sure.
about it, Larry.
It is casashaw.org.
CASASHAW.org. And you can find out information about that April Casablanca. What is that? Is that a casino night?
It's a casino night with fabulous gifts. It's really a nice event. I went last year. It's going to be at the Imperia in on Easton Avenue in Franklin Township, I think that is Somerset.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really a nice event. It's our biggest fundraiser. Okay.
Larry, you got it? Or if not, I have a question.
Go ahead.
Do you find that foster parents, or now you're calling them resource parents,
right,
tend to have more than one family at a time?
I think it depends. I think there are foster homes that, you know, just take one or two children, and then I think there are foster homes that take several children. So it really runs the gamut.
Okay. And I assume they're trained. They have to be trained.
They are trained and certified by the Division of Child Protection and Permanency. That's a whole separate thing that they do. And they're always looking for foster parents.
Right. So if the your volunteer felt that there was something lacking there, they would point it out to you.
Absolutely.
And you would take action.
That is a piece of what our volunteers are monitoring as well.
If if you have a child and there doesn't seem to be a relationship building with the volunteer, do you change volunteers then,
Yes.
or do you try to make it get?
I think we would probably try to work on it, but I think if it ends up that it's not beneficial to the child, I think yes, there might be a change made. But
okay,
I don't think it happens a lot.
Okay. That's a good thing.
Yes, absolutely.
I'm going to backtrack just for one minute. I know you said you had been with Big Brothers and Big Sisters before. What about before then? What have you been doing your whole work life? Have you been in the helping professions?
I've always been in social services. Many years ago when I first got out of college, I did some work with the senior citizen community, which I really enjoyed doing that. And then I was with Big Brothers, Big Sisters for over 20 years, so a long time.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that is. You know, and that's similar to what you guys are doing now, except without the courts involved.
Exactly. It's just a different sort of take on it.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But that notion of volunteers, I mean, I have to say that's probably been the biggest blessing of my career, is that I get to work with volunteers who are just unbelievable, that people are so giving and so kind. And I think in the case of CASA, one of the things that impresses me is how open to learning our volunteers are. You know, they come to training, they're ready to go, and they want to learn and understand what their job is going to be going forward.
Now, you mentioned that there was going to be training throughout their career, so to speak. What kind of training would go on? A revision of what they've already gone through?
We do some of that. We do some review of some of the areas.
Like if the laws change and
that
sort of thing.
Right.
Yes.
And then the other part of it is we basically ask our volunteers. You know, we do a we did a survey last year. We're getting ready to do another one. We say to them, what are the areas that you're wanting more information about? But we also base it on what's going on in the world. And that's really why that notion of talking about the opioid epidemic came up, because we're seeing that a lot of the families that we're working with, that is the underlying problem that they're facing.
So that's a big, there's a big spike in that.
Yes,
and
absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you find that there's a big spike in the children?
I think we're seeing it more with the parents.
Okay.
In our situation.
I don't know that I don't want to say it's a good thing, but
it's
better than having the kids do it, you know.
I
mean, it's sad that the parents are involved in it, but,
you
know, because that could destroy their family, too. I
mean, absolutely. You know, absolutely.
You know, and especially if both of them are doing it, you know.
Right.
And usually, a lot of times, from what I'm understanding, I may be wrong, but a lot of times they've found out that it's both parents of some sort that, you know.
I think that we've had experience with that, unfortunately.
Yeah. And it is unfortunate, you know. It really is. But I can't thank you enough for taking the time to come.
Thank you.
You know, our time just seems to fly by. And like I said, if there's anything else, we have about 2 minutes. If there's anything else you can think of that you would like to talk about.
I would just say if you're at all, we'll wait till Larry. Oh, there, that's quieter.
melodic.
I would say even if you're if you're not, if you don't feel ready to come to an information session, feel free to shoot me an email or give me a call. We can chat on the phone if you just want a little more information. Feel free to do that as well.
So you're basically 9 to 5 that they could reach you. You don't have any Saturday or Sunday hours, do you?
I can meet people on the weekends. Absolutely. Yes.
Oh, okay. So your number again is it you want to repeat that?
Sure. The phone is 908-689-5515, and my email is Karen, Karen, at CASA, CASA, Shaw, SHAW, .org.
And no space between CASA and Shaw?
No. Right. Just all together.
And it all can be lowercase?
Yep.
Okay. I can't thank you enough, Karen. It's really been interesting. And, I just think the work you're doing is great, mm-hmm. and I think all the volunteers
thank
who help
you,
you know.
Well, thank you, and I really appreciate the opportunity to spread the word.
You can come back. we'd love to have you back, you know. Seriously, you know, mm-hmm. sometime during the summer.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'll keep it in mind.
Yes, and I'll reach out.
Sounds good.
And just remember, folks, we'll be here next week, same time, same station. And remember, mental health really does matter. See you next week.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, Hunterdon Chamber Radio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
¿Sabía que de cada 5 personas hay una que lucha con síntomas difíciles de salud mental? NAMI es una organización estatal sin fines de lucro. Somos empleados voluntarios. Somos la voz de la nación sobre las enfermedades mentales. NAMI te ofrece grupos de apoyo, educación e información. Nuestro programa educativo de Familia a Familia está dirigido por miembros de NAMI para familiares y amigos de personas que luchan con dificultad de salud mental. Llámanos al 888-803-3413. Recuerda, no estás solo. NAMI está contigo y no hay salud sin salud mental.
This is Tony Clark, para planner at Patton Heidi and Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime. And selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in a critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate